It's time for overtime.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
In the left center field, that's hit well. That'll split the gap.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome back to Overtime, second hour on a Monday edition of the program. We got to On This Day in Sports History. We talked Packers in the NFL draft and what's ahead for that young and talented roster with Jason Hirschhorn of the Leap.Football in hour number one. Podcast link is officially available right now. You want to download it, listen live as well, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Still to come, we are going to fill you in on the names to know in undrafted free agency. Couple Augustana Vikings reportedly have gotten an opportunity. USD Coyotes as well. Congratulations to Joey Lombard, who was on the show getting an opportunity with the Kansas City Chiefs. We will dive in to what you need to know in UDFA land for the Vikings and Packers and our area athletes as best as we can surmise right now. There are still invites being handed out, still contracts being signed. Congratulations to all the opportunities and dreams being realized across the sport of football. That transition from college football to the pros, it's not just the draft. Undrafted free agency, a massive part of what a lot of teams do and a massive part of a lot of the opportunities that these young men get for a journey to the next level. We'll do that coming up here in about 20 minutes. Round up Major League Baseball storylines in about 30 minutes and finish up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly in what is anticipated to be a pretty wild weather day out there. Right now, it looks pretty. It ain't pretty because I got sunshine in between me and a gigantically dark sky here as we're faced just about northwest here as we're looking out the window. So please, please, please stay tuned to the radio stations of your preference in town. Hopefully ESPN Sioux Falls for the latest on the weather and then also TV stations at home overnight because things could get pretty darn severe in our neck of the woods. Stay tuned. Stay safe out there into the Tuesday edition tomorrow on the show. That's what's ahead for us today on the program. Let's get into your scorecard where things got pretty interesting in the end. And a missed call, the difference is the Knicks beat the Pistons in Detroit yesterday and take a 94-93 win. Jalen Brunson, 32 points and 11 assists. And Ian Begley of SNY saying that shouldn't surprise anybody that Brunson's elite.
What can you say? Clutch player of the year in the regular season for a reason, and he's doing it again in the postseason. And people talked about the foul baiting and now he was kind of flopping to try to get to the line. But today he did it with just two free throw attempts. He still got to 30 points on 50% shooting. So just a performance that we've become accustomed to, the people who watch the team day in and day out. But that doesn't take away from how important it is for this team and how special it is to see a guard of his stature deliver again and again in these clutch moments.
Jalen Brunson, 32 points, 11 assists as the Knicks escape Detroit with a win, lead the series 3-1. Yesterday's final, 94-93. Yesterday afternoon and evening time, Lakers and T-Wolves met up in Minneapolis where it was a Lakers-style game for three quarters. The fourth quarter, though, a different story. Minnesota outscores L.A. 32-19 and wins the game, 116-113. Anthony Edwards has 43. Minnesota takes a stranglehold for now in that series, 3-1. Coming up in just a couple of nights, we'll see the Lakers and T-Wolves lock horns for game 5 out in L.A. Other finals from yesterday, Boston takes a 3-1 lead over Orlando, 107-98 win in Florida. And Indiana hands Milwaukee their third loss of the series. Pacers lead at 3-1. But the big storyline, Damian Lillard going down, just got back on the floor after a blood clotting issue. And now we may have a torn Achilles. That is the feared diagnosis coming up for Dame. We're waiting on confirmation of that report and thinking. Here's his teammate, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on how tough it is to see Dame go down once again.
But the moment you see him, that you see a player like getting up and he's like limping and he cannot walk on his own, you kind of know that he's serious, especially for a guy like Dame that is a competitor. You know, He wants to play in big games. He wants to help the team win. And when you see like a guy like that not able to, you know, walk on his own, you kind of know this might be serious. And then you just hope like that is the, you know, best case scenario. And we just, you know, until now, we just hope that is the best case scenario for him, for himself. That's pretty much it. It's tough.
Got to hope for the best case scenario indeed. That's Giannis on Damian Lillard going down. Again, the fear is a torn Achilles on the left foot, left leg. We'll wait and see for confirmation of that report, what comes out of the imaging today that Damian Lillard will undergo. Injury riddled, tough season for the Bucks and for Dame Lillard, continuing with a big loss last night, 129-103. Tonight in the NBA, just two games taking place. You got the Cavaliers and Heat from Miami, 6:30 on TNT. Cleveland looking to close out that series. They lead it 3-0. Rockets and Warriors, 9 o'clock on TNT. Golden State with a 2-1 series advantage. NHL hockey, St. Louis right back even with Winnipeg with a 5-1 win yesterday. Blues get the win, tie the series 2 games apiece. Hurricanes get a 3-1 lead in the series with a 5-2 dominant road win in Jersey. Same score for Washington on the road in Montreal, and the Capitals take a 3-1 lead over the Canadiens. And lastly, Edmonton needed overtime. They needed the final minute of regulation to tie the game and force overtime, which they got. And then they netted the first goal in the overtime period to take down the Kings 4-3. Leon Draisaitl with the game winner. That series tied 2 games apiece. Tonight in the NHL, 2 games as well. Lightning and Panthers, 6 o'clock. Avalanche and Stars, 8:30. Both of those games on ESPN. Major League Baseball finals yesterday. The Twins are winning ball games. They've won 5 of their last 6, and they swept the Angels as of yesterday. New record for Minnesota, 12-16. Ty France has been a big reason why the Twins have been winning ball games. Here's what he had to say on he deems the team playing pretty well.
Yeah, we're playing good baseball right now. I think the biggest thing, kind of like you said, is even when they're going good, we got to put the good at bats together. We did a good job of that this homestand, and need to carry that on.
That's newcomer Ty France of the Minnesota Twins. Rocco Baldelli, the team's manager, offering up a lot of praise for the starting pitcher yesterday. Joe Ryan got his second win of the season. He's 2-2. He struck out 11 to help the Twins sweep the Angels.
That's one of those starts. We've seen a handful of those types of starts from Joe where just everything worked. He was throwing the ball really well early, and nothing changed. You know, he made adjustments. He did some different things as the game went. But it's one of those outings where even in the sixth, seventh inning, you're looking up and he's throwing the ball like it's crisp, like it's the first inning. And he's still getting swings and misses. He was really good. We checked on him towards the end of the outing. I believe what Pete told me was he says he's floating out there. So it's not surprising. He the way he was throwing the ball, I think he was feeling it.
Another big win for Minnesota. They moved their record to 12-16. They'll be in action coming up this afternoon, visiting the Cleveland Guardians. 4:30 pregame start time, 5:10 the official start this evening. You can listen right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other games coming up today and tonight: Cardinals at Reds, Tigers at Astros, Braves visiting the Rockies. And let's take a look at the American League standings as we start off this week on a Monday. New York Yankees are the class of the AL East. Not a surprise there. They're 17-11. 2 games better than Boston, 3 games better than the Rays, 4 games better than the Jays, and the Orioles bringing up the rear, 6.5 games back right now at 10-17. Much more competitive division out in the AL West, where Seattle leads the division with a record of 16-12, 1 game up on Texas, 1.5 games better than Houston, 2 games better than the A's, and 3.5 games better than the Angels. Despite the recent sweep, LA still 12-15. Worst spot in the division. Pretty decent ball club so far, all things considered. AL Central standings, a little bit more separation here in our local division. Detroit is the class for now, 18-10, followed by Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota, and Chicago. And from top to bottom, Detroit 11 games better than Chicago, 6 games better than Minnesota, 4.5 games up on Kansas City, and 2.5 games up on the Cleveland Guardians. Well, we were absolutely elated to get to Green Bay, to travel to Green Bay. Had a lot of fun along the way, and it was all brought to you courtesy of Quickstar and Miller Lite. I can't say thank you enough to those two great partners and sponsors for getting us there, gassing us up, and letting us have a great time bringing you live shows, and all sorts of social media coverage from the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay. Quickstar, I can't tell you enough. Download that Quick Rewards app. I got all sorts of rewards waiting on me, waiting for me after the big road trip, including stacking fuel rewards. I think I got 70 cents off a gallon right now. You could be in the same boat if you download that Quick Rewards app, stack your visits, and earn fuel rewards along the way. And Miller Lite, the original light beer, great-tasting pilsner, never out of style, celebrating 50 years this year. Tremendous partners to help fuel us up, gas us up, and help us eat along the road trip. Quickstar and Miller Lite, Green Bay, a great draft. Over 600,000 folks in attendance. When the initial number came out where they said 250,000 is our estimate, I said, I think it's going to be more than that. I would have been happy. I would have been thrilled. I would have been surprised if it was 300, 350. But when I got there night one, day one for the show, it was insane. The number of people that were there, that were tailgating, selling their spots in their yard. That's not commonplace in the NFL to sell spots in the yard, driveway, or otherwise, along with bathroom, beer, ice cream, whatever. Along with that, I remember several different signs. I think the biggest one I saw was $150 for the all-you-can-eat buffet, the tent with the TV, everything you want, and the parking spot. And it went all the way down to $20, $30, $40. You could also park on the road, but that was a pretty darn difficult spot to find there in Green Bay. Ton of fun. And the big storyline that emerged, of course, was centered around the quarterback position. Shedeur Sanders fell from a presumptive, by most people's estimation, including all the draft experts out there, Shedeur is a top 10 pick. He was a bona fide first round guy at the absolute worst. I wouldn't have been blown away or surprised, although I was, that Shedeur got selected early on in the second round. I thought he was a top 10 guy. I'll stand by that. And you can call me a dunce if you want to. Most people, most analysts agree that Shedeur should have been drafted in round one. He goes in round five, and Chris Canty has an issue because he says this doesn't have anything to do with his ability to play at the next level.
Here's what I don't get about what happened to Shedeur over the weekend. We've had so many different talent evaluators come on our show throughout the pre-draft process. All of them has Shedeur Sanders as a top 25 prospect in this draft. So when we talk about the variance around Shedeur, let's contextualize that. It was the number 5 prospect or the number 25 prospect, someplace in between that range. Nobody has Shedeur as a fifth round draft pick. Our ESPN analytics gave it less than a 3% chance that Shedeur would be there in round two. So how is it that discrepancy, that disparity in terms of where the tape said he should be drafted versus where he actually came off the board? Maybe we'll never know the answer to that, but I said this on Friday and I'll say it again. Shedeur Sanders not being picked in the first 2 days has nothing to do with his ability to play football.
And I agree with Chris Canty on that. I don't think we'll get all the details, but there is clearly something underlying here, whether it's character concerns or the fact that there's some reports out there that said he did not handle his interviews well, didn't perform well in the analytics-based portion of the interviews. But regardless of that, we've seen guys that have scored badly, graded out poorly, still get taken where most people thought they would. This is not anything absolutely crazy to say. I feel like the value doesn't match the player at all here. Shedeur, clearly disrespected, taken off the board by certain teams. We'll wait and see exactly how his career pans out, but it feels like the Browns really won here. But I will tell you this. Not a great landing spot for Shedeur. They just drafted a quarterback a couple rounds ahead of him, but you got to go ahead and get the pick. If you're the Cleveland Browns, get him in-house because right now they've got several big options that aren't Deshaun Watson at quarterback. They got Joe Flacco this year. Maybe we'll see Kenny Pickett. Next year, we got Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders or both. We'll wait and see how they compete. But man, did the Cleveland Browns get a pretty big win. They got Mason Graham. They traded down. They got a first round pick next year. And they still got Shedeur Sanders. If I were to tell you that on Thursday morning and said, close your eyes here, hands over your eyes, I'm going to tell you who the Browns get tonight. They get Mason Graham. You say, oh, geez, did they trade down? Yes, they did. They got a first-round pick. And then they went and got Shedeur Sanders also. And I didn't tell you what round it was in. They just got Shedeur Sanders. I think you'd tell me that's an A. That's a win. That's a massive haul for Cleveland. I don't like the order of operations per se. I don't necessarily think hurt feelings are going to play too big of a role. I'm a big fan, though, of what the Cleveland Browns did on paper. We'll see how it all comes together in the aggregate at that quarterback position. Bright future ahead, but pretty darn muddy and unclear future at that position. division in Cleveland. Rounding out the scorecard, Austin Cindric was your winner at Talladega yesterday. First win of the season for him. Next race on the circuit is at Texas on Sunday, 2:30 on Fox Sports 1. PGA Tour action takes place at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson Thursday through Sunday. And yesterday in the United Football League, D.C. Defenders beat Arlington 37-33. D.C.'s 4-1, and Houston blows out San Antonio on the road 27-3. Roughnecks move to 2-3. Next up, action for Week 6 begins on Friday. Renegades in St. Louis to battle the Battlehawks Friday night at 7 o'clock on Fox. And the Kentucky Derby right around the corner. We're set for a post time of 5:57 Central on Saturday afternoon and evening. Here's Will Clark on the field and the favorites this year.
The morning line favorite for Kentucky Derby 151 is Journalism. The morning line odds on the horse trained by Michael McCarthy are 3-1. Journalism will launch out of the 8th starting gate when the race goes to post. One of the other big storylines to watch in this field of 20 is Two Horses, trained by Bob Baffert, back at the track after a 3-year suspension from the Kentucky Derby and all Churchill Downs properties related to a failed drug test on one of his horses. At Kentucky Derby 151, Will Clark, ABC Sports.
Drama, drama, drama on the way. Kentucky Derby always delivers. That's coming up Saturday evening, 5:57, the official start time, Central Time. Two-time reigning NSIC champion Augustana Viking football team recently wrapped up their spring slate with their annual spring game, which was held on Saturday as part of the festivities at the game. Four-time NSIC coach of the year, big-time friend of the show, Jerry Olszewski, announced the four players voted as team captains for next year. Those players are seniors Grady Sherman, Logan Leonard, and Isaiah Huber, and junior quarterback from California, Gunnar Hensley, also named as a captain. Augustana's season opens late August the 30th at home against Missouri Western in a non-conference matchup at Kirkaby Over Stadium. NSIC schedule opens the week following as Augustana welcomes Jamestown to the conference and Sioux Falls to open conference play. More on that at GoAuggie.com. South Dakota State scored 4 first-inning runs and received strong pitching from its bullpen and recording a 9-6 series-clinching victory over North Dakota State in Summit League baseball action yesterday afternoon at Irv Huther Field. In winning 3 of 4 games in the weekend series, Jackrabbits improved their record to 12-28 on the season, but a strong conference mark getting there of 8-12. NDSU dropped to 14-26 and 11-10 in conference play. Up next, the Jackrabbit baseball team closes out their longest homestand of the season when they host Northern Colorado in a 3-game series May 2nd through the 4th. Friday start time is 3 o'clock at Irv Huther Field. The Augustana baseball team dropped their first conference series of the season yesterday, falling 4-1 in the rubber match against Mankato at Ronkin Field. Vikings fall down to 31-14, 25-10 in conference. Mavericks improved to 39-5 and 31-4 in conference play. Vikings closed their home slate on Tuesday afternoon with a doubleheader against Northern State. First pitch is set to begin at 3 o'clock tomorrow. The USF Cougars clinched a series sweep over the Winona State Warriors with a 7-5 come-from-behind win in the series finale over the weekend at Luffy Stadium in Winona. 5-run seventh inning sparked by Ben Seary's 2-run homer and highlighted by his 200th career hit on a double earlier in the game propelled the Cougars to their third straight win. New record for USF, 25-25, 21-14 in conference. And up next for them, they'll host Southwest Minnesota State at Sioux Falls Stadium for an NSIC doubleheader starting at 1:30. That's coming up tomorrow afternoon. USF Cougars softball wrapped up their campaign over the weekend with a hard-fought doubleheader at Maynard Johnson Field. USF battled to the end but fell in both games to Winona State. Game 1, 5-4. Game 2, 4-0. And on the season, they finished with a record of 21-29, 9-19 in conference play. And quick update here on a couple big-name quarterbacks that were in the transfer portal. Former Georgia and Arizona State quarterback Jaden Rashada has found a new home. He's heading to Sacramento State. The well-traveled Rashada announced his latest destination on Instagram over the weekend. Rashada did not appear in any games
for the Bulldogs after spending his freshman season at Arizona State, started three games for the Sun Devils, threw for 485 yards and four touchdowns against three picks, and now 3 years of eligibility remaining, Jaden Rashada likely to be in the mix as a potential starter at FCS Sacramento State. And Iowa is dealing with a transfer away at the quarterback position. His name, Brendan Sullivan, started games at Iowa and Northwestern over the past three seasons, will transfer down to New Orleans and join the Tulane Green Wave football program. Sullivan entered the transfer portal back in early April, participated in the first few spring practices for Iowa, which added quarterback transfers Mark Gronowski and Hank Brown of Auburn over the winter. So again, Sullivan transferring out. He'll be heading down to New Orleans to join the Tulane Green Wave. How did your team do in the 2025 NFL draft? Well, I'll tell you this. They did not love what the Packers and Vikings did. They polled, I don't know what this is, 20, 25 NFL draft analysts, including Mel Kiper Jr., Mike Miller, and others, including Thor Nystrom, who was on the show on Thursday, a guy who I value his opinion quite a bit. He was very mean to the NFC North. Shame on you, Thor. He handed out a D-, a D, a C, and an F to the NFC North. By far the harshest grader was our guy Thor. He wears what he thinks, his emotions right on his sleeve, and he was the only guy handing out these red numerals, the F's, the D's, the low C's, and was not kind to the Packers, Vikings, and Lions and Bears, to say the least. We go through draft grades and we meet the draft classes and UDFA classes of the Packers and Vikings coming up next on Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's time for your dedicated NFL segment of the day, this Monday, April 28th edition of Overtime. Stay tuned this week on the show. It is an interesting week, to say the least. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking with ESPN New York and host of the Jake Asman Show. Jake Asman, as you guessed it, here tomorrow, recapping and rewinding the Jets draft, the NFL draft, what stood out to him. Sure, we'll talk a little bit about Shedeur Sanders, what to expect there in Cleveland, and more. And we'll also talk about Aaron Rodgers, which is what we're also going to do right now. One more quarterback down, one to go. The Pittsburgh Steelers finally added to the quarterback room by selecting Ohio State's Will Howard in round number six on Saturday, joining him in a position group with former Kansas State teammate Skylar Thompson and presumptive starter for now. Yes, I'm not joking around, Mason Rudolph. Howard is the first quarterback selected by the Steelers since the team drafted Kenny Pickett with the 20th overall pick and Chris Oladokun in the seventh round back in 2022. Steelers have been clear that they plan on taking four quarterbacks to training camp, meaning there's one spot remaining as the team awaits Aaron Rodgers' prolonged decision. What did the Steelers do in the draft? To me, they kind of reinforced my opinion that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback next year. They certainly had several opportunities, like everyone did, to draft Shedeur Sanders. Most people had him with a first-round grade, top 10 grade in the NFL draft. They did not decide to do that. And they also passed up Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, and many, many other quarterbacks before landing a guy that I like. Who knows? Will Howard could be a pretty functionally good quarterback in the NFL, but he's not a threat to a starting job immediately that is pigeonholed for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Steelers, as a team, kind of towed the line here and said, okay, we're going to do what's best for the team, and we're also going to leave that spot open for Aaron because I think that he's going to join the team. That, to me, is what it means, that the Steelers were not aggressive at quarterback. They certainly could have been. They were not. And I think they are much more in need of Rodgers' services than Rodgers needs them. But that being said, Rodgers, if he does want to play, I think has a home in Pittsburgh. I don't know anything about contract details, negotiations, or otherwise. He's got a lot of personal things he's going through with people very important to him. That's how he's quoting it out there as of the McAfee interview last week. But I will say Rodgers appears to be pretty pigeonholed into it's the Steelers and might just be just the Pittsburgh Steelers because the Vikings made a move at quarterback and have a new promising QB2, and they didn't give up hardly anything
to get him. We'll dive into that here momentarily, but the Steelers, to me, signaled they're very much in the Aaron Rodgers business as of today and over the draft recap weekend. Tennessee is signing wide receiver Xavier Restrepo, who was the Titans' number one overall pick, Cam Ward's favorite target at Miami last year. Restrepo fell all the way out of the NFL draft. He's an undrafted free agent, and he'll join the team, including draftees Shamir Adike, former Wisconsin Badger, Florida Gator, and Alec Ayomanior from Stanford in round number four. So the Titans did a pretty good job in the NFL draft. We'll get to draft grades here in a minute, but Tennessee grading right there in the middle. I like what they did. They needed to get their quarterback. They needed to get some receiver help, because anytime you have a graphic up there, who's going to stop this offense, which they do with every team every offseason, and the Titans on that graphic had Treylon Burks, a dude who has not worked out, a dude who's barely hauled in, I don't know, maybe 500 career receiving yards there in Tennessee. No knock on the young man again, but it has not worked out with Treylon Burks there on that roster. They've got Calvin Ridley, a couple other guys, ancillary pieces there, but they add up three big-name receivers, three draftable receivers in the NFL draft. I like what the Titans did on the whole. We'll dive into that a little bit deeper coming up pretty darn soon. The Baltimore Ravens have a kicker problem, and they drafted a kicker for the first time in their 30-year franchise history, which creates more uncertainty surrounding the playing future of Justin Tucker. Baltimore took Arizona's Tyler Loop in the sixth round of the NFL draft on Saturday, which comes 3 months after Tucker was first accused of sexual misconduct. Tucker is facing allegations of inappropriate behavior by 16 massage therapists from 8 high-end spas and wellness centers, according to the Baltimore Banner. Asked how the addition of Loop impacts Tucker's roster spot, Ravens GM Eric DaCosta said, "I haven't really thought about that at this point. I just thought Loop was a really talented player, and it made sense for us to do that for a lot of different reasons. And one of the big reasons is your great kicker, who had a really down year, also is dealing with this offseason. Not so sure where this goes with Justin Tucker. I'm not going to comment on that, but the Baltimore Ravens do have a black backup plan with Arizona's Tyler Loop. Carolina Panthers are making sure their third-year quarterback Bryce Young has a group of dependable receivers. Very surprising move here. After adding two receivers in the first round of the NFL draft, including Arizona's Teteroa McMillan at number 8 overall, Carolina agreed on Sunday to a one-year deal with veteran Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro, back in the league, 29 years old, has 2,884 career receiving yards. He joins a room that includes Ted McMillan, first-round pick, sixth-round pick Jimmy Horn Jr. out of Colorado, last year's first-round pick Xavier Leggett, 34-year-old Adam Thielen, and Jalen Coker, who had a nice rookie season just last year out of Holy Cross. They also added a really interesting, cool name here for Panther fans. You remember the name Mohsin Muhammad, who was their second-best, most accomplished receiver in franchise history? Mohsin Muhammad III is in the Panthers organization for training camp on a rookie tryout deal as well. Exciting stuff for the Carolina Panthers. A lot of cool stories coming out around the NFL, including this one, considering the Sean Taylor's brother, Gabriel Taylor, the younger brother of Commanders legend Sean Taylor, will get a chance to follow in his brother's footsteps. The former safety at Rice University in Texas has accepted an invite to participate in the Commanders' upcoming rookie minicamp on a tryout basis. Gabriel Taylor played 5 years for Rice and last season had 52 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 3 interceptions. Sean Taylor was on track to have a Hall of Fame career until he was murdered back in 2007 at the age of 24. And now his younger brother, Gabriel Taylor, back in D.C. with the franchise that drafted his older brother so darn high and a really great player in his prime, Sean Taylor. Obviously, rest in peace there, but cool story for Gabriel Taylor getting his opportunity. We talked to you a little bit about the massive, and I mean that in all caps, bolded, and underlined, the massive NFL prospect known as Desmond Watson. 6'6", 464 pounds. He is getting an opportunity, was not drafted. He would have been the largest draft pick in NFL history, but he did go undrafted, but he has found a home for now. Watson has signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an undrafted free agent. Played college football for 4 seasons at Florida without missing a single game, and Watson knows he needs to lose weight, according to Pro Football Talk and NBCSports.com. He's been consistently growing his game, and he started out at 385, got up to 449, 464 at his pro day, and now going to get an opportunity to go there in Tampa. I will say this, though. even if he drops 75, 80, 100 pounds, still going to be an absolute beast on the defensive line for Tampa should he make the roster. If I'm Tampa, I consider it for one reason, tush push, because you got Vita Vea there, who is one of the more massive humans in the NFL and is a really good interior defensive lineman. Can you imagine Vita Vea and this guy, Desmond Watson, next to each other as just immovable objects? I would pay to see the Bucs face off with the Eagles in the playoffs and those two up front. I'm gonna say this. Practice squad, maybe an elevation for Desmond Watson, maybe a day one roster for Desmond Watson. Certainly needs some help, the weight management category, but a guy with a ton of potential, especially playing with one of the bigger humans in the NFL right now in Vita Vea. The Washington Commanders are going home. The organization agreed to a deal with the District of Columbia to build a statement at the site where the team had its greatest success. Washington struck a deal to play where RFK Stadium, the team's home for 35 years from 61 to 96, still stands. An announcement is expected on Monday by D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and Commanders owner Josh Harris. Terms of the deal not disclosed, but the cost exceeding $3 billion. I think the number out there right now is $4 billion. Now let's meet the Packers and Vikings and their draft classes and what they think of both teams. Let's go Vikings first here. They started out the draft with 4 picks, couple trades throughout, and they ended up with 5 draft picks and got Sam Howell via trade. They traded down 30 spots with Seattle and got a veteran QB2. That was a massive win for the Minnesota Vikings. So on paper, that's not going to be part of the NFL draft. He's not a draft pick. But that further enhances what I view to be an interesting draft class for Minnesota. I'll try to get some grades out here for these area teams later on this week. But Donovan Jackson, the guard, goes in the first round of Minnesota. The third round, the second pick the Vikings had, they go wide receiver. Surprising. I know. They go wide receiver from Maryland, Ty Felton. Edge rusher Tyrion Ingram Dawkins from Georgia. Linebacker Kobe King from Penn State. That's a good get. And then they round it out with a later sixth round pick, Gavin Bartholomew of Pittsburgh. And again, they also traded for Sam Howell, the veteran who started out his career in D.C., was traded up to the Pacific Northwest with the Seahawks, and was the fourth quarterback on that roster after they drafted Jalen Milroe. So they had to get rid of him, and they did, to the Vikings in an exchange of draft picks. The Green Bay Packers draft selections, Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas, round 1. Anthony Belton, lineman from NC State, positional versatility in Belton's game, tackle, guard, maybe some center. He was the round 2 pick. Savion Williams, a guy that I'm very excited about out of TCU. Another wide receiver taken in the 3rd. They added Baron Sorrell, edge rusher from Texas in the 4th. Colin Oliver, linebacker, edge rusher from Oklahoma State in the 5th. Warren Brinson from Georgia, DT in the 6th. And their 7th round picks, Micah Robinson, a corner from Tulane. And a tackle from Cincinnati, John Williams, in round number 7. The Vikings cleaned up again in undrafted free agency. They do this very, very well. Here's the latest on their UDFA class, 19 names for Minnesota. I'm not going to go through all of them, but here's who stands out to me. First one, easy, is Tyler Batty, the offensive linebacker, pass rusher from BYU. I don't view this guy as a really big roster fit for Minnesota, but the player, just the player, big fan of his game. 5th, 6th, 7th round pick value, Tyler Batty goes undrafted out of BYU, and he joins the Minnesota Vikings for training camp. They also got a mammoth offensive lineman who is from Wisconsin, went to Wisconsin, then transferred to Kansas, Logan Brown. He was also a 6th round, a 7th round value. They get him in camp. They got a punter in camp and a couple other big names here. Joe Huber from Wisconsin, likely to be drafted, was not. And then another name that comes to mind that I love. I can't stand to say that I love this, but I'm going to say it and be honest here. Ben Jurecek, the tight end who was at Stanford and was amazing, went to Georgia and was okay. Lots of potential at tight end for Minnesota. And lastly, Max Brosmer, the quarterback we talked about throughout the season in Minneapolis, quarterback the Minnesota Golden Gophers last year. He adds to the Minnesota Vikings as well. So 19 names to know for Minnesota. I'll get a story posted up on that later on today at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. And lastly, quickly through the Packers draft free agent signings on the undrafted free agency loop here. Tyler Cooper from Minnesota, the lineman, was the 28th ranked guard, was projected to be a UDFA. He lands in Green Bay. How about this? South Dakota State's Amar Johnson, Really great running back, patient runner, explosive guy. He goes to the Green Bay Packers. I absolutely love that. 3,000 plus yards in college as a top, for the running back with a top tier program up in Brookings. He comes to join the Green Bay Packers. And they also get a couple big names here. Green Bay knocked this out of the park. Best UDFA class they've had in years for Brian Gutekunst and company. Nazir Stackhouse from Georgia. Jamin Dumas Johnson from Kentucky. Very draftable players land in Green Bay. A couple other names that come to mind. They also got a couple big names in the CFL circles. Canadian high school prep, or Canadian college prep, Taylor Eldersma, a quarterback from Wilfrid Laurier, could join the Green Bay Packers. And then also Connor Shea from Wyoming, linebacker, is of Canadian descent and was rumored to be the number one overall pick in the CFL. That linebacker, off-ball linebacker, heading to Green Bay on a training camp tryout, mini camp tryout, rookie tryout players for this coming season. We got a whole week and a long time to recap the NFL draft. We're just getting started with that, and we'll get you introduced to the UDFA classes a little bit deeper throughout this week on Overtime. But for now, we're going to take a break, come back talking Major League Baseball, latest there, where the Twins are stacking up lately, and more. And we round out the show with the good, the bad, the ugly on this Monday edition of Overtime. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this on ESPN Sioux Falls.
ESPN More of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, April 28th edition of Overtime. We're on the heels of the 2025 NFL Draft. We will read into and react to all sorts of news and drama and opinion this week on the NFL Draft, including draft grades, which are not kind to the NFC North. Minnesota Vikings, the 29th rated team, and that includes earning a D from our friend Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Life. He gave the Packers, my Packers, a D-. Packers ranked 25th. The Detroit Lions, apparently not too good. They tied for the 30th best draft class, Thor giving the Lions an F. And then lastly, those Chicago Bears, not too much better, especially based on where they were relative to the rest of the division. Bears held the 10th pick in each round this year. They finished tied for 19th with a 304 GPA, if you will, based on draft picks and draft grades. And they paneled all sorts of different personalities here, including Mel Kiper Jr. Your top five in order: Patriots, Giants, Seahawks, Chiefs, and Eagles. Glad those aren't pretty darn successful teams in the last 20 years. Yes, they are. Pretty darn solid drafts for those five franchises. We'll dive into those draft grades a little bit deeper later on this week. Baseball talk now. Devin Williams has been removed from his role as the Yankees closer, quote, for right now, according to manager Aaron Boone. The move comes just 2 days after Williams endured another rough outing and was booed off the mound at Yankee Stadium in a loss to the Blue Jays. The 30-year-old righty has an 11.25 ERA with career worst marks in strikeout rate, whiff rate, and walk rate in 8 innings of work in 10 appearances this year. Not too good so far for Devin Williams. Minnesota Twins are dealing with an injury. Rookie infielder Luke Kuechel headed to the injured list due to a non-displaced fracture in his forearm. This, of course, on the heels of Friday's win over the Angels. Kuechel, who started at DH, was hit by a pitch from Kyle Hendricks in the first inning, stayed in the game to run the bases. When his spot in the order came up in the third, he was replaced by Mickey Gasper. So Kuechel on the injured list, out indefinitely with a forearm fracture. And lastly, how about throwing some gas? 100 miles an hour is pretty fast. How about 104.5? Raymond Gomez still has a long way to go to reach the major leagues, but his fastball velocity would fit in just fine. Gomez is a Class A pitcher for the New York Mets and had a pitch clocked at 104.5 miles per hour while pitching for St. Lucie on Saturday. That's faster than any pitch thrown in the majors this year. That's the latest from Major League Baseball. Quick check-in there. And by the way, your World Series favorites, not breaking news, still the Dodgers, followed by the Yankees, and in the top five, Mets, Tigers, and Phillies. World Series shortlist contender in the AL Central, and it is not the Minnesota Twins for now. Twins, middle-of-the-road odds, we'll call that, 21st right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. We take the break back to wrap up the show. The good, the bad, and the ugly coming your way on a Monday.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Final few minutes of this Monday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for tuning us in, and very excited to be back. Green Bay was awesome, but nothing tastes and feels like home here in Sioux Falls. Amazing stuff, and we're excited to be back with you on the air. We will not be on the air on Wednesday. We got a local event here in-house that we're going to be taking care of on the Wednesday edition, so we'll be on the air Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this week, reacting to the NFL draft, talking Timberwolves, and so much more as we move forward now with the NHL NBA postseason. And that's going to come up quite often in our conversations this week and all the way out into the month of June and July. Time now to round out the show, though. The only way we know how, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly on Overtime.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Planning a new outdoor space can be pretty darn difficult if you do it by yourself. Don't get left out in the cold. You can plan your next project today with the help of the pros at Hardscapes Outlet. Don't let your project turn out bad or ugly. Get some good advice in planning today by making a trip to Hardscapes Outlet. Good news, we're just about to the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday, and Red Hot Journalism is the name to know, the 3-1 morning line favorite for the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby, with a favorable number 8 post position that is tied for the second most victories in horse racing's marquee event. Sovereignty is the 5-1 second choice, 5-1 second choice of 20 horses, and will start from the number 18 post outside Sandman, who drew number 17 on Saturday night and is the 6-1 third choice for the $5 million grade one race at Churchill Downs on Saturday. And again, that post time, local time, 5:57. Bad news to pass along. Dick Barnett, a basketball Hall of Famer who played on both New York Knicks NBA championship teams after being a part of a historic college powerhouse at Tennessee A&I, has passed away at the age of 88. And former NBA player Stan Love, the brother of Beach Boys singer Mike Love and the father of Miami Heat player Kevin Love, has passed away at the age of 76. Kevin announced the passing of his father in an Instagram post on Sunday night. And lastly, you know where I'm going to go with the ugly here. Two really what the heck are you doing, what kind of person would do that kind of scenarios here. First things first, around Major League Baseball. Jarren Duran has found plenty of support from his Boston Red Sox teammates and others since he revealed in a Netflix documentary that he attempted suicide 3 years ago. However, Duran said yesterday that a fan in the front row near the Red Sox dugout in Cleveland said, quote, something inappropriate to him after the all-star left fielder flied out in the seventh inning of a 13-3 win over the Guardians. Duran stayed on top of the top step of the dugout and glared at the fan as the inning played out. During the seventh inning stretch before the singing of God Bless America, Red Sox teammates and coaches kept Duran away from the area as umpires and progressive field security personnel gathered to handle the situation. Fan attempted to run up the aisle, but was caught by security and taken out of the stadium. No further comment there, but here's what Duran had to say. No details, meaning fans just said something inappropriate. I'm just happy that the security handled it and the umpires were aware of it and they took care of it for me. And lastly here, another what the heck, who would do that scenario, and it's kind of in-house with the National Football League. The son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich admitted to being the person who prank called Shedeur Sanders during the NFL draft and later apologized in an Instagram post on Sunday. The NFL is looking into the situation, specifically how Sanders' private number was leaked. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Falcons said in a statement on Sunday that 21-year-old Jax Ulbrich wrote down the number from his father's open iPad while visiting his parents' home to, quote, later conduct a prank call. Bad news, get a life, what the heck are you doing? Everyone was young and dumb at some times, but try not to do it that way as you're quashing somebody else's dream on a very vulnerable moment, vulnerable weekend for Shedeur Sanders. Not a good look there for the son of NFL defense coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. That is the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 11 to 1 when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.